Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Good morning, Heart of the Dating family. This is your boy, JJ. Kate is no longer with us on the podcast this week because she is sick. So she'll be back next week. You're stuck with me. And I just want to say I love you guys. This has been so fun serving you guys this season on online dating. I wish I would have had it when I was doing online dating just because I had so many preconceived notions about online dating. I never thought I could meet my spouse on online dating. And for me, it just felt like, you know, I was always kind of waiting for the one or hoping that I would just kind of run into her serving alongside of her in church. You know, the more I thought about it and the more I heard stories about other leaders and other Christians meeting online dating, it just really normalized it for me to the point where it's like, hey, if I need a job or if I want a job, is it not okay to go on LinkedIn and apply for jobs? Like, if I feel like God is opening my heart to marriage and it's a great season for me to look for a spouse, is it okay? Why is it not okay to look online for a spouse? And so this season is all about online dating. I've really enjoyed listening alongside of you guys, especially because some of these episodes were done before my time on Heart of Dating, which is probably why they're so good and so insightful. And they use big words that I don't really understand. You know, they have great vocabulary. Very, very intelligent people. I'm a little bit more simple-minded. But hey, before we jump into the episode today, I just want to let you guys know about two things. So first of all, we got a Patreon event. That's going to be next Tuesday, the 23rd at 7 Central Time. That's going to be a spring mixer where it's going to be the $5 level or above. I think what we've really enjoyed doing again in the past year that we kind of got away from was we just love doing events. We love, love, love getting a community of Christians who happen to be single, who love God, and who are looking for great, rich, deep friendships together in the same room. A lot of people ask, what makes Heart of Dating special? What makes Heart of Dating Conference special? And the answer is so simple. It's Jesus and the people in the room who love Jesus, who are just coming to attend. It's the people, it's the audience. That's what makes Heart of Dating so special. And so Kate and I just have the best time just getting people in the same room together and then letting all the magic happen. And so we want to do that digitally. And the spring Patreon mixer, you guys are more than welcome to come. And also we have School of Dating in the summer coming. We love School of Dating. Our classes are bigger and better than ever before. We have tons of support with our coaches. A lot of people here have thought about joining the summer class, which is going to be kicking off in early June. And I've already started seeing the booking requests on my calendar from you guys. I love it. I can't wait to talk to you guys. So go ahead and book that 15-minute call with me. We can answer any questions you have. We can talk through pricing. I think the one thing I've been telling people pretty consistently that I've just seen in my life now as a married man who still goes to therapy, who still receives coaching, is any investment you make in singleness carries over. Like, that is just the best news ever. Any investment, like, you're not starting. I always thought for some reason in my mind, when you get married, you're kind of starting from scratch. Like, you're a rookie. You just made it to the NFL, the big leagues. Like, you're in like a new territory. And while that's true, all the skills you've acquired, all the training, all the investment, all the therapy that you've done, it all carries over into marriage, which is the best thing ever. So School of Dating, best investment we think you can make in yourself now and in your future marriage. I love you guys. Have the best day ever. And hopefully Kate is back next week. If not, yeah, I feel bad for you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Okay, so guys, today we are talking about, what if you think online dating sucks?
Oh.
And everyone said, that's me. Mm-hmm. It me, right now. They're raising hand emoji.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm going to start this episode by saying a hard truth. Okay. I'm going to say a hard truth and then we're going to share some of our stories. But if you think that online dating sucks, then the reality is you shouldn't be online. Not right now. Okay. Mm. Because online dating is all about mindset.
Yes.
And if you really think online dating sucks and you complain, you go on it, then guess what? It's going to ruin how you see dating overall. And it's actually going to make your mindset so negative that if a great guy did walk into your life, even in person, you're probably going to miss him. And so my suggestion to you is, if you really think online dating sucks, you have two options. You need to either change that mindset, or you need to get off online dating entirely. Mm. And just, if you do get off online dating, you just need to be okay that it might take a little bit longer to find someone, because so many people meet online. That's where everyone is these days, like over 50% of people.
Wow.
So there
you
go.
That's wild. I remember it was like 35%.
Yeah,
like
it's recently, gone up.
It's gone up so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just address the elephant in the room here, that online dating is difficult.
Yeah.
Like, this is not an easy feat.
Yeah. So if you're going to stay online, props to you.
Exactly.
It's,
I'm like,
hard,
thinking of all these TikTok audios where it's like, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be terrible. Like, oh my gosh, I guess I have to do a reel of that.
Yeah.
And you guys should all get it now.
Yeah.
But it is difficult. It's challenging.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
Yes.
And so the way you approach it changes everything.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk to you guys a bit about our experiences with online dating, mm-hmm. and then give you some nuggets on what we want to impart to you in this concept that is very wide. Like, so many Christians, or people in general, regardless of being Christian, say online dating sucks.
Yeah.
But I actually really don't think it needs to be that way. Mm. So for me, it's all about how you approach it. And you said that too, Haley. But at first for me, online dating really was a void, was a means to fill a void that I had in my heart, mm-hmm. because I really wanted to feel validated and to feel loved. And I didn't feel that outside of dating, outside of men. And so I went online because, wow, there's tons of guys online.
It's
great. That little dopamine hit every time you both match and they swipe right on you too. And you're like, yay, oh my gosh, this guy is so cute. Oh, we're going to chat. And, you know, so that was one thing for me. I often had wrong intentions for going online. I was going online to really find the next person and make myself feel awesome by having somebody be interested in me. Mm. And if you have bad intentions, you're going to have bad results. It's just, that's it.
Good.
Bad intentions equals bad results.
Mic drop right there. We can end the episode.
Yes. And so, you know, this would never fly for me these days, but I really put a lot of value on online dating and my worth and value in an app. And that's why online dating can feel even worse. If you do that, if you put your value in it, if you have high expectations of it, then it will lead to disappointment. Mm-hmm. You have to have low expectations and go in with surrender. I'll talk about it in a second. But I do want to also talk about this thing that I also did. So I would go on and I would match with guys. And one other mistake that I did quite often was I loved to emotionally connect early on, like a lot. And this is something I do not recommend to do anymore. But what would happen is I would be on these apps. I would connect with the guy that I really liked and blah, blah, blah. And then I would tell them my entire life story. And they would tell me their entire life story. And it's like paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs for weeks on end with no actual date. Mm. And I know this happens so often to people. And what I especially see, I have a call to action for two people right now, both the guys and the girls. For the girls, you need to stop complaining that this is happening, the guy's not asking you out, because you have more power in the situation and you are giving the guy all the power. If you don't want to have a texting pen pal buddy, you need to get off the app and you need to not tell them your entire life story, because it does feel heartbreaking. You feel like you emotionally connected and exposed yourself to this person, telling them all these things when you've never even heard their voice. You've never even heard their voice, let alone met them. Oh, like, what in the world? Why are we doing that? Well, we want connection. So we're going, but then we're not setting ourselves up for success. So ladies, if you are messaging with a guy a lot, like, don't allow yourself to do that. Pivot, move off the app. I have scripts for this. I've talked about it. We talk about it way more in School of Dating, but you can get off the app sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, also I have a call for the men really quick, 'cause I can't leave it just to the ladies. Guys, get off the app ASAP. Move off in 24 to 48 hours. Just move off to a phone call. Okay. In the very least, do not text for weeks on end your whole life story. Guys, make the move. Okay, Haley, let's hear your story. Yes.
My story is a direct result of not getting off the app.
Let's hear so it.
This is real. This is real life, you guys. And especially during COVID too. Yeah. Like, it was so easy to just sit so in your house and just like connect with people, because like people were lonely and we were isolated. And so for me, this was the first time I had really gotten on dating apps seriously. And it was toward the end of 2020. And I had just taken a year off of going on any dates at all. Wow. I spent an entire year, guys would ask me out on dates and I would just say, no, I'm not. I was that girl that was like, I'm called to a season of singleness. Like, I was just like, no, I'm not going on dates right now, 'cause I need to work on me. So then when I got back on Hinge, it was COVID and I start swiping and I was so excited. I matched with this really cute guy and we hit it off almost immediately. And we found that we kind of had a lot of similarities in our story, like emotionally, like our relationships had a lot of parallels, our past relationships. We were both former college athletes that had a lot of injuries. So we kind of trauma bonded, and this went on for months. I mean, oh, we would text all day, every day. I was working at a coffee shop and I would like sneak to the bathroom so I could go like reply to his paragraphs. Like we were just like, we were really like kind of infatuated with each other. And we were just so excited, because we were like, oh my gosh, here we are in COVID. Like, and we're meeting each other. It was so romantic. And and like, and the other thing, if so, we would be on the phone like all night. I mean, just hours. I think the first phone call we had was like 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
So I was not sleeping for like this whole entire time. We were just on the phone every night, and we never FaceTimed though. We never FaceTime. We just did voice phone calls.
Interesting.
It was really interesting.
Note to self, FaceTime, do the FaceTime. I always recommend it. Yeah.
I wish we would have now, because I mean, we had so much fun though. And we just learned a lot about each other. And I was like, I was really like putting all my eggs in this basket too. I was like, this is working out. I found my COVID prince. I never even met him.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And so we finally.
It's like the line in Frozen. She's like, you can't marry a guy you've never met or that you just met. That's it. Yeah.
That's what it was. Oh my gosh. I'm just like, all the memories are just flooding back to me as I'm telling the story. And so we did live like a few hours away from each other. So we couldn't, it was a long drive and his family was like doing a lot more, like they were staying at home a lot more because he was visiting grandparents and things. And so we just didn't get the chance to meet, but we were like so excited to meet in person that we didn't want to like, we didn't want to FaceTime because we didn't want to like ruin like this excitement of seeing each other for the first time. Isn't that wild? So we didn't FaceTime. And I remember we met in a Whole Foods parking lot in Northern California. And I like had his name written on a piece of paper, like an airport kind of sign.
Oh my gosh, cute.
Exactly. So we met and we went on this date and it was so awkward. Like it just did not, it was just not clicking. I think I realized like, oh my gosh, this is a stranger.
Yeah.
But I've been talking to him for like 3 months at this point, thought I knew everything about him. And then you get in person, you realize like, oh my gosh, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know you. And so we went on the date and long story short, it ended up not panning out into a second date.
Oh gosh,
and we end up not talking to each other anymore. But I just have such a sweet spot for that. It was just such a sweet moment of time. Yeah. But I really wish we would have gotten off the app sooner. And I know COVID kind of prevented that, but
at least, but balanced it better. I mean, you know, that is a hard situation with a global pandemic. However, people are doing this irregardless of the global pandemic to this day.
That's true.
And I always recommend if it's long distance of any kind, get in person ASAP. Yes. That is my non-negotiable recommendation. Like, to, especially if you're not, if you're long distance, like
right.
if I've ever, and I have dated people through Instagram in the past and it's been like guys from another state. And my thing up with them, like very clearly up front, we'll go on a few FaceTime virtual mm-hmm. dates. And then I'm like, hey, like, I just want you to know, I'm not going to date you for very long before meeting you in real life. Like,
yeah.
I need to meet you in real life pretty quickly.
So, this is so different.
It's a hard and fast rule yeah, because it does change a
it
lot.
It changes everything. And so had never having seen his face, never know.
Yeah, you that is know also what their really like wild.
React, like facial expression. So then we're like talking on this date and I'm just, it was just so, it was the strangest feeling. Like it just feeling like you knew someone, but having no idea who they were.
Yeah.
And like not having any element of like, ever like physical attraction. I almost want to say, I don't know yeah. if that's correct, but just so emotionally invested that
that bucket
just grew
was
and 8 was out thriving. Of 10
and all the other buckets were yeah, non-existent.
They didn't even get the memo. So.
Yeah. This is what we can tend to do on dating apps. Okay. So thank you for sharing that story. Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I reminded of another guy who I kind of did something similar with, and it was just such a bummer. Like when we've actually did meet yeah. in real life, cause I'm like, we didn't balance it well enough, mm-hmm. like as we were messaging, and then we met in real life and it just flopped so badly, yeah. you know? And it was like, wow, mm-hmm. bah, bah, bah.
Exactly.
Like I should have met you way earlier. I mm-hmm. should have not talked to you as much, like sending all these romantic songs back yeah. and forth, like building up this whole story in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We need to be wiser. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I have a question for you. If you had one extra hour in your day every single day, what would you do with that time? I mean, obviously, other than spending extra time with Jesus, which is awesome, you should definitely do that, I would personally invest in myself and bettering myself. You will never regret doing that when you are dating and in relationship. And one of the very best things I did in my singleness was invest in my healing journey. You guys know that I was in a very abusive relationship upwards of 10 years ago. And from that point in time, it began my therapy journey, which has only actually increased as time has gone on. It hasn't decreased just because my abuse was so long ago. I personally love therapy because it's helped me to understand more about who God uniquely formed and fashioned me to be and why all these different things from childhood to teen years to my early adult years, all these different events took away parts of that true identity. And so it's allowed me to come back to who God really has said, Kate, this is who you are. It's also helped me learn better coping mechanisms. It's helped me to identify in the past all the ways I was making dating mistakes and actually sabotaging my dating life in many ways. It's also helped me to know what my boundaries are and be able to clearly set them and keep them. I gotta be real with you that there's not a single person that I personally met that doesn't really need therapy. Even if you are saying, okay, but Kate, I don't really have that much trauma in my past, I don't care. You probably still need therapy. I'm telling you, Jesus and therapy, you need both of those things. And I want to tell you that BetterHelp is an awesome resource and an affordable resource for you if you've never tried therapy or are looking for a more affordable therapy option. Everything about BetterHelp is entirely virtual. It's so convenient. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist and you can switch therapists at any time. And they also have Christian therapists. Hello. If you are interested in learning more, go to betterhelp.com/HOD today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/HOD. So here's my final nugget. 80% of people that you meet online are not going to turn into a quality date. Now, that is not to scare you, discourage you, nothing like that. It's to level set your expectations that online dating is a great way to meet a lot of people, but 80% of them may not even ever pan out to a in-person date, which means, or a quality date. So, which means that you shouldn't be texting them for months on end or weeks on end, and which means you should hold it very loosely. It is still an awesome avenue and the number one avenue these days to meet people. And we're talking online dating. I'm also saying social media because social media can also be lumped into this category in many ways. So 80% of those people, it's not going to turn into something quality. So back to our episode where we talked about rejection, don't personalize it, and just really learn to manage your expectations. That if you do want to date, that this is a great way to get your numbers up and meet more people. And you're going to meet a lot of people that aren't going to go, it's not going to go anywhere with. So in School of Dating, we have three phases. In our second phase, we go into how to truly get out there, and we challenge people with the amount of people to meet per week, and we help them through it all. And it's amazing because we have people going on dates, more dates than they ever been on in their life, or like their first dates ever in their life. And it's awesome. Yeah. And we really help them through the whole process, because so many people ask me, well, okay, how do I do this? How do I actually make it work? And the majority of them meet their people that they end up, you know, they meet the people that they're dating on online dating apps. Mm-hmm. And that's how the majority of these happen.
Yeah.
Now we have trained them, or like helped them and teach them like about how to manage the expectations, and knowing that 80% won't turn into a quality date, mm-hmm. and setting their mindset in the right direction. And all of that combined is why they're able to stay in the game and actually go on dates and hold it loosely and enjoy the process. But if you are like, I'm going to go on a dating app and I'm going to swipe a few times and find my person, that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it is like 0.0001% chance. Mm-hmm. I don't know the actual percent. I'm just making that up, but it's a very small chance. So if that's what you're thinking going online, then you shouldn't probably even go online, because it's going to take some work.
Yeah. That's such a game changer. Mm-hmm. Like just that one, if you know 80% of people you're talking to, like that changes everything about expectations.
You match with 10 guys, at least 8 of those guys, they're not going to go anywhere. Exactly. So hold it so loosely. It's a person on the internet,
right?
You know, like not that you are mean to them or disrespect them, but it's just like, okay, I'm going to hold it loosely.
Exactly. Exactly. But for those that actually do convert to dates or do convert to matches,
what's your nugget?
You guys are going to be shocked, but go on the date as soon as possible, as soon as possible. And there's just so much room for creating false narratives about a person, mm-hmm. about your love story. Like I know, especially the girls, we can just take an inch and just run a mile with it about like you start creating this beautiful love story and you don't even know this person. So I have adopted this rule where I don't give up any personal information until we get on the first date.
Wow.
And then once we're on the first date, I don't share anything that I wouldn't share publicly.
Yeah.
And so just it's boundaries and pace. Yeah, exactly. Really what it is.
It is.
And with this, with actually going on the date, and you have to just do it. Like you just have to meet up with someone safely in a public spot. And over time it does get easier. Like the first time you're like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. I'm meeting up with a stranger, like this is weird. But once you do it a couple of times, you kind of know you can brace yourself a little bit for like the awkwardness, and you're just getting coffee. Like at the end of the day, like you're just getting coffee. You're just going on a walk. Like this is just to meet somebody in person to get that initial.
Yes. And there are ways to do it safely, like you're saying, like, and even if you don't feel uncomfortable, if you don't feel comfortable, at least get on that FaceTime, like a phone call, or like you didn't do the FaceTime because for 30 minutes, suss it out with a FaceTime. I always find that that's a good rule of thumb. And I'm not going to give away everything we teach in School of Dating here because it's such good teachings, but I do help people with like, what do you say? We have a guide in School of Dating, the texting scripts guide.
So good.
It's like all these things to say on dating apps while you're texting, like at all different stages. It's really good. People are like copy paste. I think that was like one of the highlights of the program for some people. But like, you know, there's ways to say things to like move off the app quickly to a phone call in the very least. Mm-hmm. And even from the female point of view, you can suggest that. And then like, you know, or FaceTime, I prefer the FaceTime. And then from there, maybe an in-person date. That's easy. No dinner. It doesn't have to be long.
Yeah. Guys, you don't have to spend. I know guys that have met girls on dating apps. My friends, I love you dearly, that have spent upwards of $200 on a first date from a dating app. It's like, buy coffee, buy ice cream, go on a walk somewhere that you don't. Yes. Like this isn't, and it's not as big of an investment as I think we make it in our minds to be sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. And that will save you guys too, for the men listening. Like, you don't want to stress out about like, I can't afford to pay $200 a pop for every girl on a dating app that I'm taking out. If it only is going to one date.
No,
but maybe you can afford $10 to $15 a person by doing something creative, you know? And you can, there's plenty of free kind of dates.
Oh yes.
Well,
yeah, on a budget.
I love that. Balling on a budget. Let's go. Right. And so, man, this is great. I know it's some hard lessons here, you guys, but we are fans of online dating and we know it's hard.
Yes.
But we want to help set you up for success to actually, if you are going to use it, to have the right mindset and to really use it in a way that will actually work for you and not a way that feels like defeating and back into all guys suck and or all girls suck or online dating sucks.
Exactly.
So. All right, guys. Well, this is so fun and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. The Heart of Dating podcast is created by Kate and JJ Tomlin. Shout out to our epic audio and video editor, Scott Caro. We have an amazing Heart of Dating team who helps bring the show to you each week. I want to shout out Kelsey Napier, our Heart of Dating digital marketing coordinator, and Elena Gibson, our brand and community manager. We couldn't do it without them. Now, if you guys have never ranked us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify, would you consider doing that? It would mean so much because our podcast can get more discovered and more people can learn how to better date as Christians. Don't we all want that? We launch our podcast each and every week on Wednesdays. So we will see you next week.